This gospel reading is taken from the book of Matthew, verses 25 to 34. That's why I'm telling you to stop worrying about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, isn't it? And the body more than clothing. Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest or gather food into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are more valuable than they are, aren't you? Can any of you add a single hour to the length of your life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Consider the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't work or spin yarn, but I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was clothed like one of them. Now, if that is the way God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and thrown into the oven tomorrow, won't he clothe you much better, you who have little faith? So don't ever worry by saying, what are you going to eat? Or what are you going to drink? Or what are you going to wear? Because it is the unbelievers who are eager for all of those things. Surely your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But first be concerned about God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be provided for you as well. So never worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Okay, so by now you would have guessed that our topic for today is worry. And I'm already worrying that David's going to do something. Okay, all right. Keep my anxious thoughts. So just a few disclaimers to set before we go ahead. I am not a seasoned, got it all sorted, worryless person. Let's get that clear. I've read the word, I've read other books, and I know what God wants us to do. So as much as I'm standing here, I'm speaking it to myself. So let's go ahead. So just one thing to point out before we go ahead from the passage that Ethan read to us. There was this verse from the verse 27, and it said, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, in the King James translation, which I grew up with, it said, by which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? So that's basically a measurement, 45 centimeters from here to here about, and adding to your height. That would have been good. You know, with all the worrying I've done all these years, I would have been a really tall person. That's one worry off of my childhood life. It would have been a much better world at that time. But anyways, so let me start with an honest question. How many of you would say that worry is one of those background noises at the back of your mind in your life? Oh, okay, people have already very quickly gone up. Yeah. So it's not panic, it's not full-blown crisis. It's just that low-level hum of anxiety at the background. Like what we heard from the kids, you know, what if I don't get good grades? What if I can't make friends? What if I don't pass my exams? What if I'm not good at learning? What if I don't know what I want to do after school? What if I know what I want to do, but I can't do it? What if I can't get a job? What if I can't find a life partner? What if I can't have kids? What if I get sick? What if, what if, what if, what if? It just keeps on going. Do you recognize this? So for many of us, worry seems normal. Responsible even, actually. But in Matthew 6, in the passage that we heard, Jesus says something that really cuts straight across those assumptions. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So Jesus is not trying to say, worry a little bit less, manage your anxiety. Do not be anxious. That's what he says. And at first, it sounds very unrealistic or very dismissive of our feelings. But he's not trying to be naive about this. He is revealing to us the kind of world that we actually live in when God is our Father and the kingdom is real. And Jesus names the things that we are worried about and what matters most. What we eat, what we drink, what we wear. So in other words, the basics, security, survival. Now, worry is not the same thing as responsibility. Jesus is not condemning us, you know, planning and working. He's just confronting our belief that my life depends on me. And worry is what happens when that responsibility turns into control. And it's what we say, or it's what happens when we say, often unconsciously, that if I don't hold this all together, everything will fall apart. Now, Tim Keller, a Christian author who died a few years ago, often pointed out that worry reveals what we trust most. And behind every anxiety, there is a deeper fear. If I lose this, will I be okay? If this goes wrong, will my life lose its meaning? And so worry exposes our functional saviors, the things that we look for safety, for identity, for our worth. And Jesus doesn't shame us for this, never. He just invites us to see it clearly. And then Jesus does something unexpected when he moves on, and he points out to the birds and the wildflowers. He says, look at the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. Now, this isn't some sentimental moment or some poetic words just put in there to give us a breather, but it's an actual theological argument. The birds are fed, the flowers are clothed, not because they are impressive, but because God is faithful. And Jesus isn't saying, you know, just be passive, but he's saying, notice the kind of life you are living when you are under God. Another author, John Mark Comer, we've done the Practicing the Way, and we have read the Practicing the Way book and done the course. Another book of his called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, often reminds us that anxiety is deeply connected to hurry. When we live at a pace that assumes everything depends on us, worry becomes inevitable. The birds don't hoard tomorrow. The flowers don't strive to control. They just live within the rhythms provided by God. And Jesus is telling us, are you not of more value than these? And this is not by any means Jesus' way of minimizing our problems, but it's about maximizing our view about God. Now, this part is the emotional part of the message. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It's not just God knows, it's Father knows. Now Jesus is trying to ground us in that freedom from worry in relationship with God, and not just giving us techniques or strategies. Again, Tim Keller would say that this is where the gospel speaks most powerfully to anxiety, because we don't just know that God is powerful, but we know that God is for us, and that's different. Now, the Father did not withhold his Son from coming over here and dying for us, from entering into that suffering, our uncertainty, our lack, taking all that up. And even if we think that the outcomes are unclear, we are never uncared for. Now, we know that Christian faith doesn't promise us that that everything is going to go well. We know that. But it promises us that nothing is meaningless in God's hands, because he is our good, good Father. Now, towards the end of the passage, Jesus, again, just doesn't tell us what not to do. He tells us what to do instead. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, worry pulls us into that imagined future, but the kingdom is calling us back into that faithful presence today. And to seek the kingdom first is to reorder our life around God's rule rather than our rule or our fear. So it means obedience over control, trust over our obsessions, and faithfulness over outcomes. So what we are really asking ourselves is that, what is my life organized around? And when kingdom comes first, provision becomes a gift and not a god. And success becomes faithfulness, not a certainty. And tomorrow becomes God's responsibility, not ours. So Jesus ends with this line, each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, gee, thanks. I don't think Jesus is trying to be pessimistic, or he's showing us his mercy. We were not designed to carry tomorrow today. We're not designed that way. So this teaching is just not something for us to just listen and admire and say, okay. It's something for us to practice. So I have three practices for us today. First one is, turn your worry into prayer. So again, Pete Gregg, another or Christian author, says that worry is often unprayed fear. So when anxiety rises, don't push it down, don't push it away, take it to God. Name it, surrender it, do it again tomorrow. Second, slow your life down, slow my life down. Many of us are trying to think our way out of anxiety when we need to live differently. A slower life makes room for what Jesus wants to do in our life and to know that God is actually in charge and not me. Silence, Sabbath, solitude. These are practices that we can hold on to. The third one, preach the gospel to your fear. Ask, what am I afraid of losing? And then answer it with the cross. So if God has already given me Jesus, I know that he's not going to abandon me now. And just a reminder, Jesus is not telling us that nothing bad's going to happen, but he says that you're never alone in the things that's going to happen. Worry really shrinks the world in a way that we can control it, but the kingdom opens it back to the Father who controls it. So today, let's receive grace for this moment. Do the next faithful thing, and then trust that tomorrow is already held. Amen.